Ms. Arroyo.
Thank you. I didn't expect to, you know, this is not a message, and I really didn't expect to, it was just going to be a few points to give to you guys so that you're aware of, but they are important enough that they need to have center stage, not that I need to be the one saying it, but it's not me, and it's not the person or persons that I'm aware of that are in agreement about these things. It's important for us to know the heart of God, because he is speaking to his people. He has been for a very long time, and I respect the prophetic community, and I can't say that, you know, none of us can say that any ministry functions perfectly. And sometimes when you're young in growing in that prophetic ministry, it's very hard to tell sometimes if it's your own flesh or if it's the Lord. But then you take the chance of not missing the Lord, and you do it anyway, or you give it anyway. But the people that the main person that this is coming from, most of you have heard of him, and you may have your own opinion of him, but I have followed his ministry for many, many years, as long with another other prophetic ministries in our nation and abroad. So I do have confidence in his word, the things that the Lord shows him, because much of it has come to pass. And there are truly other very anointed and true prophets speaking today. But one does have to be careful who they're listening to, and you have to be able to discern if it is the Lord or not. And I can't say that, you know, I have the last word on that, but anyway, I try to find those voices that are speaking truly the word of God and giving instructions to us season by season. And so this came from, this mostly is given by Chuck Pierce, but it was not at his location in Texas, but at a turnaround gathering. The gathering itself was a very prophetic assignment from the Lord. Then it was arranged by Lamplighter Ministry, John and Jolene Hamill. And actually, it was a gathering that was the punctuation mark on a tour that they did to that the Lord sent them on to Turkey and to Israel, and to pulling down the strongholds, praying against. I mean, let me tell you, you don't go do that kind of ministry unless God calls you to do it. And they have been in this type of high-level ministry for many, many years. And so the Lord has sent them on an assignment to where the seven churches of Asia were. And so they've tried to pray and declare and deliver the things in those areas that the Lord has said, because the purpose is the Lord is wanting to rescue his lampstand. His lampstand needs to be rescued from all of the lies and all that it's been subject to through the years. It needs to be restored to the body of Messiah, because the body of Messiah was cut off from their Jewish roots. So all of this has to do with all of that, the restoration of God's lampstand, his true lampstand, to the body of Messiah, and including Israel. So this turnaround gathering in Washington, D.C. was the final assignment that the Lord gave. And it's based on the turnaround verdict from Daniel 7:22 that where the Lord said judgment in favor of the saints, restraining the enemy and releasing the saints to possess the kingdom. And so that 722 gathering, which it also took place on July 22 of this year. It was the final extension of that whole tour that the Lord sent them on. I wasn't planning on giving a whole lot of background information because there are a lot of amazing details that you just cannot make these kinds of things up when the Lord sends someone on these types of assignments. And so anyway, the Lord is trying to restore his lampstand to this nation as well, and to our individual lives. He's rescuing our personal lampstands, and he's rescuing our national lampstand and the lampstand of the body of Messiah and Israel as well. So there's a whole lot more to that that's really powerful and beautiful that I was not intending to share with you. But what I did want to say, because it applies to the season that we're in right now of Teshuvah and allowing God to bring cleanse us and to bring us into a place where we see things clearer through his eyes and from his perspective and be able to move on those things. So the first thing that I want to share with you is that Chuck Pierce, the Lord took him up in a vision, or I forget all the details about that, but the Lord told him, he said, I am going to rescue America. I myself am going to rescue America. And we have been praying for some years here, believing that that our nation is going to be turned around. And you'll see where all of the Turning Point USA, where the turnaround, where it is all falling in place, even prophetically, it's pretty amazing. Anyway, but what the Lord did show him, the first thing that he showed him was that there were, he showed him a map of the United States, and there were 51 angels around the map of the United States. And then there were four other angels, they were more powerful angels on four stations, the four sides of the United States. And he said that the Lord said, I will be visiting the states. The Lord will be sending his angels to the states, state by state. The Lord will evaluate each state and his church in each state and key churches in those territories. He said that my people need to come to a new level of alertness and to know what he is seeing and to be his eyes in the earth and to do what he shows us to do. And the Lord needs new beachheads formed for his glory. Because only his glory, he said, only my glory can intercept fully what I'm going to be doing throughout, can interpret, yes, that only my glory can interpret fully what I'm going to be doing in this nation and in the nations. Sorry if I fumble over some of this, because I wrote this as I'm hearing somebody talk, and I just went over and highlighted because it was a lot to try to rewrite. And it's written in pencil, so it's even kind of hard to see. But anyway, so So he is looking to form new beachheads for his glory. Lord, I pray that Kolsimka could be one of those beachheads. And the Lord is extending time for America to reestablish covenant alignment with him. So on July 15th, the Lord said, the transition of America will now escalate, and it has to be announced in D.C. And that's where they were. That's where this was even shared at D.C. as well as at another conference. But at this was shared at the 722 conference. And he said, through December, the snares will be intense. So these are definitely prayer assignments, things to know. He said, my people have to get in a mode of revelation that they have never been in. Can you understand why it would be important to share something like this during this season? Because the Lord he's overturning our hard ground in our hearts so that he can mold us and that we can go deeper in him and he can have more ground in our heart to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. So he says that my people need to stop looking back at all their messes and that God is going to reclothe them so that they will not be wearing their iniquities into the future. And what they couldn't overcome in the last season, they will, and that was emphasized strongly, they will overcome in the next season. And that season has begun. It has begun. And the Lord said that he would be releasing over Washington, over Washington, D.C., he would be releasing new turbines would be coming down into the thought processes over those in D.C. that are leading this nation. The Lord is going to minister. He's going to do mighty things there. And this is very important to me, this section here. The Lord said that there is a double portion of my spirit and anointing on America that is not on any other nation. And I am ready for my people to claim their next portion. And those who do not want to claim their next portion, he is going to sort them out. And that portion is a double portion because it's the portion that's on our nation. So he wants us to claim and declare that we claim our portion, our next portion, and declare it every day. And this part, it may not sound like it flows because I have taken not every single word. And so things may seem a little bit disjointed, but that came at a later time in the service. The Lord said, because I have a sound that will start rising up in Washington, D.C., there will be a whistle that starts causing the scattered future to come into a new order. I had never heard the term scattered future, but the Lord knows what he's talking about. I think it has everything to do with because our past has been scattered, our past has been broken, and so the Lord is going to call it all back together. But this is, he's speaking specifically over D.C., but it also applies to his people. So the Lord said, because I have a sound that will start rising up in Washington, D.C., and there will be a whistle that starts causing the scattered future to come into a new order. And that, it says, the Lord said, you, speaking to the gathering that was there to do this on God's behalf, you are going to decree tonight, he was giving that instruction, that the whistle is beginning to dangle, and I will set an order. And my people who know me by my name, will be able to hear the sound of my whistle. For I have a new order. We don't know exactly what that means, but he knows what it means. The Lord said that there is a shout of glory. There's a shout of glory, and this shout will come from D.C. And this whole nation will hear the shout of triumph in the coming 2 years that comes out of D.C. And he said, tell my people, as an act of intercession, to shout glory out into the atmosphere over D.C. This was the instruction that was given for that prophetic event. Because we are about to escalate into transition. And, you know, transition, you know, if you're not a woman, that word may not stir you or may not speak to you. But if you're a woman and you've had children, you know what that word means. And just find a lady to ask later. So it means there's a lot of pain involved and a lot of work involved. So the Lord gave instructions. We were watching the video. We were part of the conference, but had signed up for the conference. So anyway, it was a very powerful thing. But the reason that I'm sharing it with you is because I believe that this is what the Lord wants his body to know. I mean, he's speaking to his people. That he wants his people to stop looking back at all of their messes. He truly wants to remove our messes. He wants to remove all of those things that the enemy has had such a powerful sway and doorway in our lives. He wants to remove that in this season. He says that he is going to do that. So, and that he's going to reclothe us. There's a lot to think about here, a lot to think about, that he's going to reclothe us. That's exciting to me. But he's wanting us to, he's calling his body to be in agreement with him, to align with him for what he wants to do in this nation right now. And even what's happened with Turning Point becoming such a center stage in our nation, and not just for the nation. I mean, the whole world is taken by this. Because, you know why? Because it's a prophetic voice. It is God's prophetic voice for this time, for the entire earth, clearly. Because, I mean, people that have ministries die all the time, and it doesn't happen this way. This was a very specific ministry. And the Lord's reasons for allowing things to happen the way they did sent out a prophetic cry to the entire world right now. And so we're going to begin to see things shift. The Lord's going to go back. He's going to go back to the time of Eisenhower in our nation, because there were things that he wanted done that needed to happen during that time that did not happen. So this is the scattered, our scattered future, that where he brings the things that should have happened that did not happen. He brings them together. The Lord says he's revisiting things that had never come into the fullness of his plan from the time of Eisenhower to now. And this is key. And this will cause a faith rediscovery in our nation. Thank you, Lord, for all of those things. So what I want for us, I would like for us to be able to respond to the Lord. So are we willing to stake our claim as a congregation, as an individual, as a congregation, for our next portion, which is his double portion offering that he's giving to us? He's making this offer to his people. So number one, are we willing to stake our claim for our next portion? And number two, are we ready to stop looking back at all of our messes and truly let them go? Number three, are we ready for Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh to reclothe us, that we do not wear our iniquities into the future, and that we receive the turban that he wants to place on our minds too, that releases his mindset? Because there are so many mindsets that needs to be changed in the body of Messiah, stuff that we have grown up with. We don't have a clue about so many things that we have accepted as true that are not. So we need that. If we're going to get new clothes, we need a new headdress, right? Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. And are we ready to believe that that what we couldn't overcome in the last season, that we will absolutely overcome in this season based on his promise, based on his word? And are we ready to listen for his whistle and decree that our scattered future will align with Yah's order as a nation, in covenant, and as a congregation, and as individuals? And are we ready to shout glory as an act of intercession into the atmosphere of DC? Because when the Lord was giving this, it was to decree this every day. Every day, decree this. So are we ready to shout glory as an act of intercession into the atmosphere of DC? And if we can do it for DC, we can do it for our city, we can do it for our county, over our congregation, over our homes, our children and our grandchildren, and anyone else that the Lord has you interceding for, to declare glory, his glory. And also to shout grace, grace, as Rabbi was sharing the other day. This is something that we did for a while that the Lord gave, and shouting grace, grace, declaring grace, grace to every defiant mountain that stands in the way of the Lord's said will that he has been declaring for this nation and for his people, for us. Everything that he wants to do, everything that he is promising in his word, everything that he is promising season by season as he's sharing these things, we've come to the time where we need to draw a line in the sand, and that we're not going to be wishy-washy. It's like on. From now on, it's on, and not allowing the enemy just to steal what he wants to steal from us, or just push us around, or just say whatever he wants to us. And we, what do? We just mutter about it. I'm not saying what you do. You know what you do. But I do believe that as humans and as the body of Messiah, we truly have great weakness in this area, and the Lord is wanting to turn that around completely and do something that we would not expect him to do for all of us. So those are the main things that I wanted to share, Rabbi, and forgive me for not having such an order and structure to them, but it was just like, you just say what they said, and that's it. And so I hope that it will be a blessing to you, and I'm looking forward to decreeing for our congregation the will of the Lord. You know, at some point, the Lord will bring someone to replace us, but until then, we're going to declare the blessing of Caleb and choose to walk in the spirit of Caleb so that we can fulfill, even in our ripe age, that we can fulfill whatever the Lord still has us here for and whatever the Lord has this congregation for. And every congregation really is a war front for the kingdom of God. It is. So it's time to come into agreement with the Lord, and let's be very, very sure of that, and just not put up with the enemy's stuff anymore. We have to keep him out there in his place and under the authority of what the Lord God has said for us individually, for us as a congregation, and as a nation. Thank you.
Amen. On today's parashah,
turn it off. In today's parashah, it's in chapter 31, but I want to start with verse 6. Look what verse 6 says. Hazak. Hazak. It says, be courageous. Hazak. Do not be afraid or tremble before them. For Adonai your God, he is the one who goes with you, and he will not fail you nor abandon you. Verse 10, then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, Shemitah, right? At the set time of the year of canceling debts, Shemitah. During the Feast of Sukkot, Shemitah. When all Israel comes to appear before Adonai your God in the place he chooses, you are to read this Torah. Every 7 years, they were to hear the reading of the Torah, the whole thing. I'm not talking about a verse like what we do. I'm talking about reading the whole thing. Before them in their hearing, gather the people, the men and the women, and the little ones, and the outsider within your own gates, so that they may hear, so that they may learn, so that they will fear Adonai your God and take care to do all the words of his Torah. It was not left to, you know, it was a commandment to do that. You see that being fulfilled at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. So their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear Adonai your God in all the days of their life, and in the land that you're about to cross over to possess. And then we jump to verse 23a. In there, Moses now turns on to Joshua, the next generation, right? The next ones that are taking over. And he says to them, Hazak! Be courageous. He says, Hazak to the ones that are standing, and Hazak to the new ones. Hazak to the Calebs and Hazak to the Joshua. Those are the two spies, right? The only two old people there. Besides Moses, he's not going to hang around very much longer. He's not going over. So Hazak! There's a bunch of us that are old and a bunch of us that are young. There's some that have been in Messianic Judaism for a long time. Myself, 33 years or something like that. And there are some that have just came. There are some that have been trying to do things a certain way, and some that have just come. It doesn't matter. Together, he says to all of us, Hazak! Hazak! Like what we say at the end of each book. Hazak, Hazak, Benit Hasek. So what does this have to do with the price of eggs, right? First of all, I want to give you context because the Lord just had me want me to share with you. We are coming, we're getting close to, I can say this with certainty. 50 years ago, the idea of the coming of the Lord was over there, somebody. And it was not going to affect us at all. 50 years ago, when I was in college, the whole idea that what they call truth is not truth and false didn't seem real at all. Everybody seemed to have common sense, except us in college. Except those in the 60s and 70s. There were a lot of common sense. There was a group already that didn't. Well, that's spread like... And now, years ago, common sense started to disappear. And then it went out the window when in the 2020 election. Along with COVID. Who would have thought that there was a way that lies could shut us down because people would not hear the truth. Look, I was in this congregation. I dealt with it personally. And we just chose to stand and not mask and not be fearful. And take, you know, and use common sense, for goodness sakes. Common sense. There are many of you that remember that. That wasn't that long ago. So, the time of the Lord is coming back. Well, is Yeshua coming back to nothing? I just want to ask a question. Is Yeshua returning back to nothing? You see, he's going to return to the Mount of Olives, and now it... Yeshua, now that you come, we'll get busy and build. We've done nothing for you, waiting for you to tell us and give us a grace and all those things. Well, he doesn't need us, right? By the way, he doesn't need us. He can just speak the temple into being. Why do you say that? Because he's supposed to be in the temple of his father David. So who's going to build that? I mean, we're expecting him to build it for himself. I know people think about this and that and the other in the third temple and this and that and the other. I'm just reading for what it says in the book of Revelation. He's going back to sit somewhere. And who's going to build it? I mean, he's coming soon. So what? Well, 50 years ago, I said, well, that's not going to be my job. That's somebody else's job. And as it turns out, it's somebody sped up time. And in 2020, the whole world went upside down. Upside down. The government went upside down. They were already evil. They just went to a much further place. Now, before it was in the closet, they talked about. Let's keep things in the closet. Well, they said, we're coming out of the closet. And they not only came out of the closet, they came out of the closet and then told the rest of us that we're saying, you are going to put up with it. This is the new rule. The new rule for our country. Pronouns. This, you name it. All like, You go find somebody here that's over 60 years old and ask him, how much sense does that make? To the old ones, it makes no sense at all. The young ones, they have been indoctrinated and they have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure it out. Such as the is the ministry of Turning Point to figure it out with the young people. Well, if we're going to build a temple, where are the people that speak to us about that time? We're not building the original temple, we're rebuilding. If we're rebuilding that season, what are the ones? Well, I want to tell you what the ones are. Haggai and Zechariah. And in Haggai and Zechariah, the Lord comes in. It's at the time of the rebuilding of the temple. Not rebuilding of the walls, the rebuilding of the temple. It goes along. It's in that same. So you have the people like Ezra and Nehemiah. But when it came to the temple, there were people like Zerubbabel and Joshua, the son of Josedek. Joshua was the high priest, and Zerubbabel was the only living relative of King David. Zerubbabel is the one who could actually inherit, who could be crowned king. There's not going to be that many of those afterwards, because the way history went. So they set out to build a temple, and what happens? You know, the Lord raises up Haggai because they get to a certain point, ain't nothing happening. And so Haggai comes and says to the people, how many of you were there when the original house was functioning? Then he says, how do you see it now? Don't it seem to you as nothing? But oh, be strong, O Zerubbabel and Joshua, son of Josedek. The hands you laid the foundation, your hands laid the foundation, and your hands will finish it. The Lord is saying, we're going to finish the work. We're going to finish the work. You're going to finish the work. And everybody was in their sealed houses, the King James says. So everybody was home. I mean, that sounds like COVID. The other prophet that is raised here is Zechariah. Well, what do we know about Zechariah? Well, we know a lot about Zechariah. Zechariah is the Sukkot prophet. Zechariah is the one that says in chapter 14 that when the millennium kingdom is set up, everybody's going to come in and worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Where? In San Juan, Puerto Rico. Of course it is. No? Not Washington, D.C. either, okay? And not New Mexico or Old Mexico. But in Jerusalem. They're going to worship the King in Jerusalem. If you don't come, stuff's not going to happen for you. Well, that same Zechariah, then 14, chapter 14, that we look forward to, that is prophetic. It's definitely prophetic of the returning of Messiah. In the first 3 or 4 chapters, it's talking about the same thing that Haggai is talking about. And one of the first things that happens is that he has the priests come in. Now, people misunderstand that. So, Yehoshua, the high priest, you know, if you wear the stuff a lot, white stuff a lot, it doesn't look so good. It's not that it's sin. It's that it gets used. And it's so used that it's no longer as nice as it is. And so Satan is using that to mock the high priest and to mock the people. You're serving with a messed up garment. Well, let me bring that to us today. We have been in such a mess. We've been in such a mess that the whole country is serving with a messed up garment. And it wasn't their fault. It wasn't your fault. But the enemy's taking advantage of the fact that we just weren't whatever. And it's making it, mocking us. Oh, Joe, so you think you're going to do this, right? You think you're going to dance again, Joe? I'm messing with him, and he knows that I'm messing with him. And maybe for some of you, maybe, hey, you think you're going to, you just had another operation. Messing with all our minds. We've been doing this for 33 years, for goodness sakes. Where's it going to go? We ain't made nothing for 33 years. So notice that the word there, which is actually based on Zechariah. The Lord said, take the garment off of Yehoshua. He said that. Take the garment off. I'm ordering to take the garment off. I'm taking it off. He's actually responsible for the thing being taken off. Well, that's just what's being alluded here. He wants us to be in new clothes again. What does that mean? We start thinking back for at least this congregation celebrates their 33rd year on Sukkot. That's October 6th, something like that. It wasn't 6 back 33 years ago. It was later on, but it was Sukkot. Okay. We need a new garment. We need a new mindset, new garment. It's like the turban that covers up our mind, she said. We need it. You know what's happening? The Lord saying, I'm going to take that away. It is not going to go based on that. It's just not going to go based on what it is in the past. And we're not going to be able to just refer to the past and say, well, I've done this, I've done the other, we've done da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it always ended up with nothing. And that there is a removal of a garment like that and putting on a new garment that says, yes, Lord. And that happens before the temple is rebuilt. You know what happens? In chapter 4, Zechariah is in his place. And the Lord shows him a vision. The two trees and a menorah, the lampstand that she's talking about is called menorah. And the lampstand is being fed from two olive trees. And the angel says, Zechariah, what seest thou? I memorized King James, so I'm sorry. And Zechariah says, Lord, thou knowest. Pretty smart, if you ask me. Don't try to tell the angel something. Just let him tell you. The angel says, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. What does it say? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is exactly what's being said right now. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. The Lord himself is saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to send my spirit. I'm going to send you a double portion of the spirit. Do you want it? You know what I'm saying? Do you want it? Well, a lot of people aren't spirit-filled, so... You know, but Joe and Stephanie were in the Baptist church. They weren't spirit-filled at all. In fact, they didn't think it was good at all. Are you spirit-filled now? Okay, why? Okay, because they wanted it. They got it. So, not by mind, not by power, but by my spirit. What's interesting to me, I could preach this all day long. I'm not going to, but interesting to me is that Zechariah said, okay, that's great. And he doesn't say that's great, but it basically goes, what are those two trees? No, it's like, okay, so the spirit is doing something, but I want to know about the trees. I want to know about the menorah. Because the menorah is really important. They emptied themselves into the menorah, into the to the central shaft of the menorah. The central shaft of the menorah is none other than the Messiah. We had that discussion here many, many times. And the seven branches represent the seven spirits of God. The seven menorahs, which represent the seven spirits of God, showed up in Revelation 1. And Yeshua was walking among them. They're also the seven eyes of the Lord, of Adonai, of Yah Adonai Elohim, that go to and fro the earth to see who's right and who's not. And so Zechariah wants to know about that. In Haggai, at the same time, they said, the way you're going to be able to accomplish something is that you need to shout, grace, grace. I didn't make that up. That's actually in the Bible. Grace, grace. So now, interesting to me, that along with grace, grace, we're going to shout glory, glory. Why? Because the glory, glory of God is going to do stuff. He's going to do it by His Spirit. He doesn't need me to do it. He's going to do things by the Spirit. What is He asking us to do? He's asking us to do, can you change the turban? Can you change your mindset? Can you receive this double anointing and take it and begin to function with that? Not like it was in times past. Oh, well, Lord, and you know, look at my garment. I've been doing this for 33 years, and it's just full of start and stops and some grease on it to try to get the battery to work again and all that stuff. Oh, that's a problem? Take that garment out. I'm giving you a good one. Your new garment carries with it a double kind of thing. It's a double kind of thing. Because we need a double kind of thing for today. You actually need a double kind of thing because it's gotten really, really bad. I mean, the cup of iniquity, is if it's not full, it should have been close. In fact, I think the cup of iniquity kind of spilled over in Washington, D.C. in the last years, 2020 to now. And cleaning up the mess is not anytime soon. See, now Comey is everybody says, well, that was wrong. Well, you know, all he was doing while he was in power wasn't wrong. It was the law. And the law said, you got to use pronouns. And the law said, we're just going to not ignore what the Lord said in Genesis. And we're going to redefine marriage. We're going to redefine sexes, not sex. We're going to redefine gender. All that's on the table. Meanwhile, the country's going, well, I don't know. I can't do nothing. I've been doing this for 33 years. We can't do nothing. What else you want me to do? What else are we going to do? You know, we really do need an intervention. We really do need for the Spirit of God to show up and say, I'm refilling the menorah of your congregation. And it's going to be not by mind, not by power, but by my Spirit. And we are going to be able to accomplish a lot of stuff. We, who's we? We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do declare today that we are free from Satan. We're free. And that we can do something. Therefore, the scripture today says, be strong, be strong. Hazak, hazak. Be strong, old generation. Be strong, new generation. Your time is about to be. And you will be able to move to the promised land. We have got to get out of this mess. This 20 to 24 mess. Maybe for you wasn't a mess. Nothing. You know what? I don't want the old. I want it better. I don't want to go back to 2020 or 2019. I want to go back to the future. And with the sound of the voice that shouts, like we just did 2 days ago, shout! The voice shouted, Yehovah, Yehovah, my Lord. We're going to shout. We're going to shout what? Along with his name and his great glory. Glory. Grace. Because we're doing what they were doing in Haggai, what they were doing in Zechariah. It is our duty. It is our turn. We've got to build a new temple for him. That means it's, you know, the temple's kind of messed up. And it's not Hanukkah. We could really get into that. The temple is messed up. The temple of the Holy Spirit is us. And we've been messing around with the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's us. And we just stood silent. Now, Yeshua stood silent in fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 53. If you think you're Yeshua, you just go ahead and be quiet. But I know better. I'm not even close to being Yeshua. No way. So for me, we've got to open our mouth. We've got to join in. When that prophecy was given, Turning Point was still functioning with the original person. And let's say it reached X, whatever that is. The scripture says that it is good for a seed to die. And when it comes back, it's going to come out and give multiple things. What's interesting to me, the enemy had him silenced, but the ministry has grown tenfold since then. So like what you expected to do to mess that up, it's already growing. So the seed went to the ground, but not for, it's so that it resurrect, the ministry resurrected, is resurrected, and it's much more involved. It's much more. I want to ask you a question. When all these is talking about, they talk about Washington, D.C., and she talks about this and this and that and the other, we just go sit over here and go, okay, I must be on the back of the bus, so I don't know. I'm not driving the bus. It's wherever the bus takes me. And we just kind of like assume that if it happens in Washington and it happens in America, some sooner or later we get into it. Somebody else will bring it to us. Is somebody going to walk through the door and say, and we don't have any responsibility. We got to have some responsibility. Hazak, hazak, be strong. Hazak, hazak, be strong. Hazak, hazak, be strong. He's telling them, you're going over the land. This is the conclusion of my dream. Moses says, this is the conclusion of my dream. I've been doing this for 120 plus years. I don't even get to go. Which the Lord said, enough. Don't talk to me about that anymore. I ain't changing my mind. You need to read Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Okay? Who's going to do it? You waiting for the next generation to do it? You know what? I'd been all happy about that. I thought, okay, well, my time must be up soon. Heck, I'm 76. My time must be up, 1776, you know. My time must be up. Well, it appears my time isn't up. Just saying, it appears my time isn't up. It appears it's not time for us to turn over the congregation to somebody else and so on. It appears that's not the case. So, who's doing all of this? Well, you know what? It's not us. It's your, it's in me. I'm just standing, okay, what do you want to do? And so are you. What do you want to do? Well, what he said was, join up, join me in wanting to be a doer, wanting to be a changer, wanting to be a new generation, so to speak. The generation of those includes Joshua, which is at least 60 years old. You would the new generation would say the 60-year-old is not you, not new. So if he was around 20 and 40 years have passed, he's around 60. And he sure wasn't any younger than 20, right? He was no kid. No, he wasn't a kid that fought Amalek. There was no child, what I'm trying to say. He was a young man. Well, young man, let's say 21 years old. And now 40 years later, he's 61. Okay, that's not young, but he represents the young. And Caleb, well, Caleb was already old. And by the way, Caleb is a Gentile, representing the Jewish people, representing Judah. By the definition of the rabbis, he's not even shouldn't be there. So the definitions that we men come up with things, the Lord goes, but what should be nice for you is to know that there's a representative of the non-Jews that actually is going to do it for the Jews. It's interesting to me. Caleb is going to take the mountain. What mountain are we talking about? Give me my mountain, he said. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about the land of Judah. We're not talking about up in the north. We're not talking about in the south. We're talking the land of Judah. He represents the tribe of Judah. The mountain in the tribe of Judah is the Temple Mount. Give me my mountain. Well, how old is he? 85. I got 9 more years to get his age. And he said, I'm strong. Give me my mountain. Okay, well, we've been here a long time. Those of you who've been here with me a long time, we're strong. Give me my mountain. Give us our destiny. Give us our destiny. Give me my mountain, and I'll somehow make it work. How? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. With what clothes? New clothes. The Lord's clothing you. Clothe me. New turban, a new mindset, something for the head. I think all of those things are being said there. And by the way, Chuck Pierce is on Paul Wilbur's board. He's intimate friends with Paul Wilbur. Gene, who's been around the Wilbur ministry for a lot of things, even traveling with them and all that, can attest to that. Maybe you can't. Maybe you didn't know. Paul all the time talks about his friend and mentor. He's kind of messianic. I kind of like that. There are lots of, besides the rabbi, there's not any other voice that's messianic, hardly. But Chuck Pierce cannot be just called a Gentile. He's a transitioning guy. He'd like the one in New Jersey, they keep Shabbat. And they also keep the festival. And they do Sunday as well. You know, the scripture doesn't say you can't do any other day of the week. You just better take care of Shabbat. You take care of Shabbat, you want to go to church the rest of the 6 other days? Fine, go for it. Not a problem. So we've got to move there. I wrote here, our Torah portion is Vayelech, which means that he went. Here Moses continues to deliver his last message to our people while they're still standing, Nitzavim, in front of the Jordan as they listen, Shema. That's what the words are in Hebrew. We need to listen so that we can Shema. One of the things that we talked about already, and I've talked about it many, many times, is that the last thing that is spoken that they that both Joshua and Moses have to do is to write the Torah. Write for yourselves, it says, a Torah scroll. Well, that's like not trivial. You ask me. A sofer takes to write a Torah scroll a year, and they know what they're doing. Imagine somebody like me. I can't even draw. My shins wouldn't look like shins, etc. Well, thank goodness we have the printing press, and we have PDF, and etc. So the rabbis have said, whether we like them or not, they've said, look, since adding a letter, if a letter is missing from the Torah, the scroll is not kosher. So an unkosher scroll missing a letter from the Torah, and you, Michael Baldwin, comes in and adds that letter to it, it's now kosher. You yourself, by adding a single letter, you can. Well, if you don't have the opportunity to do that, then they say you ought to have a book that you call your Bible. You have to have a Bible. You have a Bible? Anybody here doesn't have a Bible? Notice I didn't say which version. But if you like the Messianic version, it's called the Tree of Life version. And if you like the more accurate, what is it called? The ESV. ESV as in Victor. If you like a more traditional one, you can use an NKJV, for example. They still didn't take out Easter from there. There's no way God's going to allow the name of a goddess to be in his Torah, in his word. So today, Yah Adonai commands his children, Hazak! Be courageous. This is followed by commanding Moses and Yehoshua to write the Torah to teach it to the people. Be strong. We're writing chapters of the Torah in the future. We're going to be doing new things that have not been done. So that Yeshua's prophecy about we'll do more, greater things than he did. I cannot imagine such a thing. What do you mean? I'm going to do something greater than him. You've got to be kidding me. Don't. Well, we together can actually accomplish such things. And we ought to. And he repeats again, Hazak, be courageous to Yehoshua, which represents the younger generation. So to the old and to the new, Hazak. To the old and to the new, Hazak. To the ones that have been here 33 years and one who just got here last month, Hazak. Together we can do something. Adonai has commanded his people and we're included. Then we need to consider our ways and repent. Get right before you go fight all the fights you're going to go across the river. As a congregation, we are also standing today in front of our future, the promised land. So stand with me. Let's stand before our future. I believe that we need to do what our ancestors practiced and face the reality of our shortcomings and sins. Today is called Shabbat Shuvah. What does that mean? It's called the Shabbat of Turning. And I wrote a little paragraph here about it. It's the Saturday that happens in a 10-day period. In any 10-day period, there's going to be at least one Saturday. There can be multiple. Okay? But in the one that is the Saturday that happens during the week, if there's two, on the closest one to before Yom Kippur, that's it. Got Teruah, got Yom Sukkot. Before Yom Kippur, it's called Shabbat Shuvah. It's like a reminder. Hey, Don't let Yom Kippur come and you ain't ready. Don't let Yom Kippur come at the last minute. I don't like last minute, to be honest with you. I'm just not one of those that likes the last minute everything. It makes me discombobulated. I like to know. And I like to be, if we're going to do something, I like to be thinking about it. I like to moving in that direction. I like my heart to be prepared. Look, it's a serious thing not to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Some people say, well, I already went before in the altar and I raised my hand and I received what I was supposed to receive and I testified about it and it can't be taken away. It's intended to be permanent. No doubt. The problem is, I have free moral agency. That's the problem. The problem is that any of that doesn't take away my free moral agency. The problem is that the scripture also say those who endure till the end, the same shall be saved, which I don't like, by the way. I really like the other way. Got the ticket to ride, Beatles song, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go right now. Well, the problem is I'm ready to go right now. Somehow I haven't done something major. So what does he call major and minor or et cetera? So which one of us can stand on a daily basis and say we haven't sinned in the last 24 hours? I mean, there may be some of you. I just haven't been able to. Every day, every time, every night when I go to bed, I review like, oh, I'm still selfish. Oh, I'm still self-centered. Oh, I still react to people that don't go along with exactly what I think. Oh, I was a little wanting my way and was in a nice, educated way, trying to get my way. And the Holy One of Israel is going like, pfft. What righteousness? All we can claim is Yeshua. But maybe you claimed it some time ago. Did you claim it now? So I claim it now. I claim it every night. And I ask the Lord every night to forgive my sins that I know about and those that I don't know about. I'm almost done. So, in the reality of our shortcomings, in the reality that we're not made perfect, that when the perfect comes, we will see them face to face. But until then, we're still in this flesh thing. And this flesh thing is way more than just what's typically assigned to it. Greed, money, don't even, the flesh thing. When I say the flesh thing, everybody wants to go to X-rated things. That's not things that are bothering me. The things that are bothering me is the pie that I want. Taking my wife to eat, and we don't go to the salad place. Don't take me to the salad place, please. No. So, the Holy Spirit every once in a while says, well, yield. Let somebody else have it. And I go, yeah, that's easy for you to say. You like salad, but I don't. So, we are beset by the flesh and all that stuff. Therefore, we have to go before the Lord on a continual basis to cleanse. If you take every night, and I've been doing that, let's say I've been doing that for a year. I have 365 spots that were removed. You know, some tide remover with the Holy Spirit, I prayed and took away that. Well, what happens is it doesn't really always return to the new, right? Those of you that have tide and whatever, you know that. Well, there's always a little something left there. After 365 of them, 1 year, there's a bunch of stuff on this white garment. What I need is a new garment. And I'm glad that he's saying he's giving me one. Because this one is full of holes. This one that I've been wearing for a long time, it's stained. And it's not stained with the blood of Yeshua. It's stained with the selfishness of Tony. What I need is a new garment. And he wants to give us a new garment, just like he did to the high priest. He removed his shame. He removed what Satan was pointing at the high priest and saying, you don't look so good. And making fun. And that's what's happening to many of us. Satan is buffing us. Well, how much success are you going to have now? Well, how much have you had up to this point? Maybe he doesn't come talk to you like that. But he does to me. He said, well, what do you expect? A miracle? Yeah. He's still in the miracle business, so we're going to have one. I challenge us as a congregation to get our affairs right. Last chance kind of thing. Next time we see you would be on Wednesday night. And at that point, you got just hours. Be better if that's all taken care of. You can come in and enjoy the service instead of being laying there like bleeding to death. We can come in and get you up. We can say that we're without sin. We can't say that we're totally white. We can't say any of those things. So what? Do you need a new garment? I need a new garment. Do you need a new mindset? I need a new turban. I need a new mindset. Does the Lord want to do that? It's like that really. Okay. Here I am again, Lord. I screwed up again. No, isn't this like the typical? You can't really go before the throne of thrones and the one who's sitting there, the Ancient of Days, and say, but that is the way that it's with me all the time. I come in and I said, I can't even come in here. Let me get Yeshua. Let me get Yeshua over me and to be my Kippurim. So you see him and don't see my shortcomings. I also want to challenge you. It's not just to get things this way. It's to get things this way too. So, if at any point this year I have irritated you, that's baloney. That's not the way you say it. Since I have irritated you multiple times this year, since I have sinned in front of you, since I have required of you, since I've done all these things, they're not really great. Since all of that, then I want to ask you to forgive me. Publicly. Forgive me. Because I'm just not there. I'm trying, but not there. I'm only likable to my own wife. And that's sometimes. See, you ought to do the same to one another. Oh, no. Look, let's pick on somebody who's never. You can't come up with anything with Pat. Not a thing. Okay? I mean, she gave me a card, she gave me this, and can't come up with nothing. So, Pat, I can't come up with anything. But If there is something I don't know, I forgive you. And she does the same. We usually exchange texts and do that before Yom Kippur. Do the same. It's the time to ask your son to forgive you. It's the time to ask your wife to forgive you. It's before Wednesday so that we can repent for the country. We can repent for the country. We repented for our own affairs. So it's tradition, right? We want to be like Jews. Okay, the Jews in the Bible, traditionally they ask each other for forgiveness. So I'm expecting phone calls and not from you guys, but in other settings, maybe letters, whatever. And I myself need to write a letter or two and a text or two and an email or two. And I've got until Wednesday to get that done. So I challenge you to do the same. Let's demonstrate by doing this, forgive as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So if we do that, then we can do this. Oh, I never sin. Call me Saint Tony. Don't. It would be a lie. Don't. So that was Shabbat Shuvah message. That with the interesting thing about what she shared is that the Lord is extending to us some tools, like a double anointing. Extending to us some thoughts about a new garment. He's extending to us some thoughts about you're not going to fail like you have been. I find that very interesting, huh? Well, somebody wants to offer me a steak. I can just say no. I want a piece of round steak. I've got here a filet mignon. The Lord's offering us some really good stuff. He's not going to force it on us. You think about this. Think about what we said today. Between now and Wednesday, think about what we said today. This is between you and the Lord. Look, if we all, I exhort you to do that. Be strong. Be strong. Do it. Be strong. And if we do those things, I'm telling you, we are going to have one heck of a rest of the High Holy Days. And the sooner we get rid of this mess that we're carrying around and this backpacks of get rid of that stuff, the sooner we get the new garment, the happier we'll be. So you're exhorted to take action. So I think Marilyn wanted to John to get ready to blow the shofar. So why don't you re-say those things and we will respond. You said four things, right? Four or five? Huh? More like eight? Well, that's eight times. Blow the shofar. John, would you blow the shofar? Come on, be ready. Instant in season and out of season. I know, I didn't know either.
Okay.
Number one.
Are we ready to stop looking back at all of our messes?
Lord, we are ready to stop looking back at all of our messes.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Grace.
Yes, Lord.
Glory.
And we're going to declare glory over everything. And are we ready for... Are we ready? I'm sorry. I guess I'm not ready just now. Are we ready for Yehovah to reclothe us, that we do not wear our iniquities into the future? And are we ready for his supernatural turban that he's going to give us?
Yes, amen. Lord, we're ready for
yes,
you.
Lord.
For
yes,
your garment
Lord.
And your turban.
Yes,
we want a new
Lord.
One.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, us, we do.
Thank you,
we
Lord.
Do.
Thank you, Lord. And are we ready to believe that what we couldn't overcome in last season, we will overcome this season?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, Lord. Grace, Lord. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. And are we ready to listen for his whistle and decree that our scattered future will align with Yah's order as a nation in covenant and as a congregation in covenant and as individuals in covenant?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We are ready.
Thank you, Lord.
We are ready, Lord, to have this happen to us.
We don't want
a scattered future. We want a nice one that you've got for us. Not pieces of egg, but a whole egg. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, we're staking our claim, Lord. And are we ready to shout glory as an
glory
act of intercession over ourselves, over DC, over yes, our homes, everything, Lord?
Glory, grace, Lord. Glory and grace over Colson Ha.
Yes,
glory,
Lord.
And grace over everything. Glory, yes, glory, glory, glory.
Yes, Lord. Okay. So it was 7. Isn't that cool? All right. So just when you leave here, write down your decrees and declare them daily, was the instructions to declare these things, because they have to become a part of us.
So glory, 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 and grace, Lord. And we declare our future is in our hands, even as close as our hands are. And Hazak, Hazak, be strong. 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 You shall possess the promised land, all of it. Hazak, Hazak, be strong. Hazak, Hazak. Benit Hazak, and be strengthened. In Yeshua's name, amen.